Let's everybody in the house lift our hands and praise the Lord. Let's everybody praise Him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Come on, everything that's breathing. If you're breathing on planet Earth, you ought to be praising Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, we need more. The choir worship. I don't know what people in the audience are doing, but we need to catch up. Come on, you that were in the audience need to catch up. Lift your hands and praise Him, everybody. Come on, praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You must never allow yourself as an apostolic to fall into the rut of being comfortable not to worship. Never. Amen. And we've got a dilemma in Pentecost. Our churches are getting quieter and calmer. Amen. And it takes some music to get most going. Worship has nothing to do with the speed. It has nothing to do with the volume. It has everything to do with the condition of your heart. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. A little more monitor. Amen. Brother Nathan Morton hit on it this morning. The real element of worship is that if it doesn't cost you, God doesn't call it worship. It has to cost you. Amen. Man, I've found three ways to get Pentecostal folks upset. Number one, preach on holiness. Now I'm talking about Jesus' name, baptized, Holy Ghost, tongue-talking folks. Preach holiness, you get them upset. Amen. Some places, all you got to do is say the word, and folks get real quiet. You just mention the word holiness, and oh, Jesus, oh, yeah. And then, thing number two is preach on giving. Preach about giving, and people get quiet. We like to be oneness all the way through. We like to be one God, and one name, and $1. Amen. And then the third thing it takes to get an apostolic upset is preach on worship. I've seen Holy Ghost filled folks make faces at me for preaching on worship. And the reason is because we want to feel like that if we just kind of clap, 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 that we worship. We're getting more Baptist nods than we are aisle running. Isn't God good? Aren't you glad your name's written down? Aren't you glad you're going to heaven? You might as well quit lying to yourself. If it don't make you any happier than that, you probably ain't going anyhow. Hallelujah. Amen. And so Abraham called the sacrificing of his son, the slitting of his throat, the dismembering of his body. He called it worship. And you will know you worship when it's cost you. And it doesn't cost you anything to nod your head. Doesn't cost you anything to go. You believe in one God? Jesus' name baptism, all that's right? Come on, you got to get down deep in your gut and say, when I leave this service, I'm going to know it costs me. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, empty your pockets. Empty your soul. Empty your spirit. Magnify God. Praise Him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Hallelujah. Thank God. If you have your Bibles tonight, the book of John chapter 7. Hallelujah. Maybe just a little treble will help me, Brother Sam. Man, he's doing great. They had one of them demon-possessed compressors on that sound system last night that liked to kill me. And so I feel like I've already preached a week after one night, but we got that devil out of that thing and turned it off. And now we can have church like Pentecostals. Hallelujah. Those compressors are of the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You know, you'll never complain. I'll tell you how you'll never notice how loud the PA is. I have never, in all places I've ever preached, I have never had somebody come up to me and say, "Oh, that was a great service, Brother Godwin, but that PA was killing me." Never seen anybody that was out shouting, jumping up, "Come on, preacher." Now, I've seen music people get upset. They want the music up and the mic's up while they sing, and then when the preacher gets up, for some reason there's a spirit, they kind of pull it all down. And there is a spirit to that. Amen. Amen. Ooh, I felt that go over like a lead balloon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. When Saul was in his height of his trouble, he called for David the musician instead of the prophet. The music made him feel better, but he didn't change. Amen. 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 Thank God for these music people. I think all the music people are still here. Amen. Thank God for music people that'll sing and stay for the preaching. Amen. See, you feel it getting tight already? Woo! My God in heaven. Big devil stirred up. Hallelujah. I've never seen anybody get upset at the sound that was worshiping and praising and weeping and crying and snot running out of their nose. Come up blowing their nose. "Well, I was touching God, but the PA was killing me." The only people that complain about the PA is the folks that aren't doing anything. If you just get focused on worshiping God, you wouldn't even know there was a PA. Well, somebody say amen. Amen, amen. John chapter number 7. That was a message I just threw out. I titled it, "I Love the PA." No, I'm kidding. Amen. Thank God. How many of you going to help me preach tonight? Amen. Now, we may start just a little bit slow, but I want you to stay with me. We're going to make you think a little. I hope. I want to try to help you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. John chapter 7, John chapter 5, and then we're going to flip around and read. I'm going to read a verse over in Jeremiah. In fact, I'll read there first, Jeremiah 13, and then we'll go to John 5 and then John 7. Thank you, Western District, for letting us come. It's an honor to be here, and we're just going to try to do our best. I haven't come with prepared messages for each night. I've come with a Bible and a briefcase full of notes and an open spirit and heart, and just trust God to give us direction for each and every night. Everybody said amen. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 23. "Can the Ethiopian change," everybody say change, "his skin? Or the leopard, his spots?" What a question. "Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." Then you can do good that are accustomed to doing evil. The question is, can there be a change? John chapter 5. Thank you, Sister Clark, for a great choir. Amen. I was just thinking of it back in the back. You know, she's a pastor's wife. They have a church, and there's Sister White sitting back there. And pastor's wife. Here they are at camp. Pastor. Evangelist. And music people that are away from their churches, young people. Pastor Hale, his wife, they've left their church, left it in the hands of capable people. Of course, Sister Clark and Sister White, their husbands are capable. They're the pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. But they have left church to come and be here with you. And I hope you understand that. And all throughout this camp, it would be well if you'd go by all of these adults and you would be sure to thank them for leaving their churches and coming here to help us have church. Would you give all of them a big hand and thank them for sacrificing for our sakes? Amen. John 5 and verse 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there, 30, was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Now, I don't want you to miss a very familiar passage of Scripture here. We have God that made everything asking a human being that is made from dust and lives because of the breath of God. We have the Almighty God asking a created being, would you like to? John chapter 7, verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If any man will do his will. If any man will do his will. Romans 7, don't turn there, just listen to it. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Even then I do that which I would not. I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now this is the Apostle Paul, writer of 2/3 of the New Testament, saying, It is sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, everybody say in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. To will is present, but how to perform what I will, I find not. I'm preaching to people again tonight. And I want to title the message, It's Not My Will to Be Like This. I want to preach past your veneer. Preach past the outward man. And I want to preach to somebody, the change is according to your will. It's what you want. Nothing else can do it. But it is in your will. And I want you to look at somebody next to you and say, It's not my will to be like this. Now, if there is that perfect human being among us tonight, that one that is without sin that could cast the first stone, then you should say, it's my will to be like I am. But is there anybody human in the house that says, you know, I look okay, but there's some things in me I need to deal with, and it's not my will to be like I am. You don't know the real me. Is there anybody honest in California that would say there's some things I need to happen this week in this camp in my life? Lord, now I take dominion over every spirit and every thought that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Let the power of your word, God, break the rock tonight. In Jesus' name, we need a move of your spirit brought on by the power of your word and the faith of those that hear and will mix their faith with what is preached. Somebody can have a deliverance tonight. God, somebody can come out of a dilemma, a trouble, a problem, an addiction, a habit. They can come out tonight. Power is available in the name of Jesus. Would you lift your hand and thank God for what He is about to do? Come on, lift your voice. Thank Him. Tremble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. In 1997, an era and an age of scientific advancement. Psychologists and psychiatrists trying to examine the brain, asking all one question: why does man do what he does? They are going so far as to try to, now through scientific advancement, to make human body parts. It's happening right now. Make ears. Make kidneys. Arms and legs and fingers. Eyes, ears and noses. All because man, when he examines himself, sees himself full of frailties. Full of problems. Science has gone so far, psychology and psychiatrists, to begin to say that you're a product of your environment. That there is no way that you can be anything different than your environment will allow you to be. That was proved when God pastored the first two saints. That's wrong. Because the Almighty God created a perfect atmosphere and a firmament for man to live in, a garden that God made. After all of the creative days, the Bible says that then God made a garden east of Eden. A special place for man and his would-be wife to live. And the only thing bad about it was there was one tree. He said, now you've got dominion over everything. It's yours. All I ask you to do is multiply, replenish, be fruitful, and have dominion. Take authority over all of this. But into this perfect atmosphere comes one serpent. With one don't. and God loses both saints. God lost them. Not because he was a bad pastor. Young people, I want to tell you that your pastors are doing everything they can to help you be saved. But a perfect atmosphere will not keep you saved. A great preacher. I said a great preacher. And a great music department. And a powerful youth pastor will not keep you saved. You must save yourself from this untoward generation. You can be seated. Don't worry about the lights. Everything's cool. Look at your neighbor and say, everything's cool. God only had one don't in the garden. One rule. One you can't. And man still failed God. I may be just a little bit ahead of myself, but young man or young lady that are beginning to mature, and you are thinking 2 or 3 years from now, or a year from now, I will graduate. And when I graduate, I'll listen to whatever music I want. I'll watch whatever I want. I'll go wherever I want. Listen to me. It's not about can'ts and don'ts. It's about what you will. Young people at the end time, let Brother Godwin tell you his opinion. And that 25 cents to buy coffee. But let me tell you something. You are in deep trouble whenever you call the preaching of the Word of God and living for God and holiness, when you call it a rule or a regulation or something that I can't do. You missed the whole point. I got some folks already nervous. You say, well, we got this whole long list of things that we can't do. Well, there's a bigger list of things that you can do. That's for another night. But I want to tell you, when God made Adam and God made Eve and there was only one don't, they still couldn't do it. They were without sin. They were not born in sin. They had a daily appointment with God. I'll meet you right here, Adam and Eve. Every day. That's cool. And they walked in the cool of the day. Please keep me up on these monitors, brother. They get loud. Don't worry about them. You just listen to me. Hallelujah. Nobody else, my opinion counts, just mine. Hallelujah. When I'm preaching, hallelujah. Thank you. He's a good man. Amen. That ain't about right, that is right. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen from the youth president? Thank you, sir. Amen. Appreciate that. Amen. He was shaking his head, but you in the back couldn't see that. I wanted him to say amen for the Tate ministry. Hallelujah. There was no sin. There they stood without even the knowledge of good or evil. Didn't know there was anything called good or evil. Except that there was a tree that had fruit that the Lord said, when you eat of it, it is the knowledge of the good and evil. Whatever the fruit is, its taste, the meat of that fruit, will give you the understanding of good and evil. And he said, the day you do it, I'm going to have to put you out. And they did it. Can't. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leopard remove his spots? Don't like these spots. Don't like this dark skin. So you pull a Michael Jackson and you get it bleached. Sissy. I've seen a couple of you fellas making me nervous. You twitching around a little bit too much. We need to take you horseback riding and let you do it bareback until you walk like a man, Doc. You're bothering me. You say, what difference does it make? Does not nature even tell you? You don't see a sissified lion. You don't see a sissified gorilla. Ooh, 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 ooh. Come on, Bubba. The animal kingdom won't even do that. You need to get a hold of the Holy Ghost. Look at your neighbor and say, he is preaching right now. You can be seated, and I'm going to level out the playing field. Just as stupid and as sick as it is to see some man or boy twitching around, it's just as gross to see some woman. Praise God, brother preacher. Come on, lady. You need to get effeminate and go to an effeminity school and learn how to be a lady. It's just as gross for a woman to be masculine as it is for a man to be effeminate. Somebody ought to praise him tonight. You say, but can I change? You be seated. I got a little spirit on the run. You say, but I'm a musician. David was a musician. David wasn't no sis. David was a bear killer. Bare hands. David was a lion killer. Bare hands. David was a giant killer. What? And David also was a musician. But David was not a sissy. Your musical ability does not give you a right to be soft and sissified. Play them drums till you beat a hole in it. Blow that saxophone till you blow the reed apart. Beat that piano until the key strings bust in half. But don't be a sissy. Look at somebody and say, he is preaching. You can be seated. Don't care what that piano teacher tells you. You got to be fluid. You being as fluid as you can be and still be masculine. Don't you dare get up there. Come on, Doc. You're a man. Can I change? We're not talking about the change of skin. We're not talking about the removing of spots in a leopard. But Jeremiah, preaching to a sinful nation, he tells them of their sinfulness. He tells them your problem is you turn from God. You won't listen to the preacher. It's sin that's your problem. It's not your skin. It's not your spots. It's your heart. Sin is your problem. Paul said, it's sin that dwelleth in me. Everybody say sin. You can be seated. Right while we're having our end time revival, I'm just Sunday night. We just preach Sunday night style tonight. Right while we're having an outpouring, and we got drug addicts and pimps and prostitutes running for the altar. We got a bunch of carnal, lethargic saints that have been around it for 10 or 15 years. And now you're trying to figure out a way to go back to what they're trying to get out of. You can be seated. Not going to have revival when you got a church trying to be like the world, and they got the world trying to become like the church that they read about. It's going to get quieter. Holiness is not an option when it comes to revival. If you want a revival, you cannot have a revival without holiness. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Come on, young people of the end time. Let's not be a bunch of compromisers in California. Let's be people that love the truth and nothing but the truth and the whole truth. So help us, God. We got a state that's dependent on us to believe the word. Let's not let it go. You're going to be seated. How stupid. I'm going to ruin a good message. How stupid is it to invite a prostitute, painted up to look like a prostitute, to a church that's trying to look like a prostitute, and tell her you got a better life? Look at your neighbor and tell him that's stupid. I almost hit it. You can be seated. Oh, Jesus. Now, ladies, I'm going to get the men. Y'all don't get too tight on me. I'll get them. Problem we got every time we get on holiness, we always get on the ladies. And I'm going to only throw it out long enough to tell you, men, the leveling in the balance is as women should live holy and clean, keep their face clean, and leave their hair alone. Men, in like manner also, should be men of prayer and men of supplication. If you're a man and you don't worship, you're backslid. If you're a man and you can't pray, you're backslid. Come on, young men, to be a real man in the church doesn't come to how high you can jump or how far you can throw a ball or how big your muscle is. How much can you pray? How much can you worship? How much can you be a partaker of the first fruits? Men, look at somebody and tell them, be a man. You can be seated. And it's a spirit. Get on worship, people don't want us worshiping. Get on prayer, we don't want to pray. Thank God for the young men that have been in prayer. I think it'd be all right if we turn this into a prayer room. Church I grew up in, pastor didn't let you come in the auditorium and yakety yak. If you're going to come in here and sit, read your Bible and pray. But don't talk about the young men and the young ladies. What would be wrong with turning this into a prayer room this week? The least that would happen was God would answer your prayer. God would manifest Himself. You can be seated. Can I change? Is there hope? How do I change? I've heard people use this verse in Jeremiah. Well, leopard change, take his spots off? No. Can an Ethiopian change his skin? No. I've had preachers, I've had saints look at me and say, yeah, just that's just the way they are. You just have to accept it. And for quite a few years, I just, wait a minute. Is that all Calvary? Do you mean Calvary, and that's just the way you're going to be, Mike. I mean, you just, all your faults you got. And everybody thinks you're great. And I think you're great, but I got a feeling there's something in you you want to change. And you know, if Calvary was only good enough to do a little temporary repair, but it couldn't overhaul, you know, then what was Calvary? We fall into the same doctrine and the same ideas and concepts that the world is saying. And now they've made adultery a gene problem. And I'm not talking about your blue jeans. They tell an adultery is not because of sin. Oh, no, there's no such thing as sin. You were just born with a gene that's out of whack. But nothing you can do about it. Doesn't matter how pretty your wife is or how handsome your husband is, young lady. You got this gene defect, and somewhere down the line, you just nothing you can do about it. You're just going to commit adultery. You ain't got no choice in it, young man. You're going to be homosexual because you were born with a gene defect, and God made you look like a man, but that one little gene, he forgot to fix that, and you got this desire to be a little sissy. You can be seated. Well, I was born effeminate. Lie, lie, lie. You weren't born effeminate. Oh, it's getting quiet. You can be seated. The adults are making me nervous. I can't believe he's getting his plane. My God. God, you don't understand. Boy, I've been raised in a single parent home. My God, he's raised by his mother. He never had a male influence. All these men run around in the world and ain't had no male influence, please. I'm going to open up a can of worms here. Your cigarette habit is a gene defect. And your alcoholism is just a gene defect. You were born an alcoholic. Isn't anything you can do about it. Your grandpappy was an alcoholic. And your daddy was an alcoholic. And five generations behind you was an alcoholic. And you're going to be an alcoholic. You're a preacher now. But what you don't know, you got this gene that's all out of whack, Bishop. And somewhere down the line, you're going to be an alcoholic. There's nothing you can do about it. You're just going to be that way. Ain't nothing you can do. Your history, Doc. You're going to suck on a bottle. 45 years old. You're going to... Ain't nothing you can do about it. You just got this gene defect. You got this gene defect, Doc. You just... One of these days, you're just going to wind up on a corner and tie your arm off and run a needle up it, and all of a sudden, everything's going to spin. You're going to fall out. Nobody's going to make you do it. You just got this gene defect, and you know. And so all the world can offer you as an Alcoholic Anonymous or a drug rehab, and you take 12 steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 20, 2, 11, 12. And then all you are is a recovering alcoholic because you are made to believe that there is no chance for a change. No chance. You are what you are. Somebody has come to this camp, maybe abused mentally, physically. Maybe sexually. The Lord tarries, our churches will be full of kids and young people that have come in molested, abused. Then we want to try to help them with some little dead church service, some nice little fancy song, and God 3 million miles away from it. You can be seated. How does a change come? In the story of Genesis, whenever the serpent moved into that wilderness and that environment, I made all of those opening remarks to say to you, it doesn't matter how strong a church you have, doesn't matter how eloquent of a preacher, how fabulous a music department. I said it last night, it does not intimidate the devil. He will come in. I didn't get too many amens. Whenever God made Adam and then put him to sleep, he saw that man was alone. He said, you need a partner. God did not put Adam asleep and put an Adam to sleep and break off a rib and make a Steve. Just thought I'd throw that in. I got folks that ain't clapping, ain't amening, because you're a little bit nervous. And now, Brother Godwin, you're being a little mean. I ain't being mean. I've come to tell you the world has told you you can't change that. But I've come to tell you it's not about skin color, and it ain't about spots. It's about stopping doing evil. That which you've been accustomed to doing, you can change it. You don't have to do evil. You can do good. Look at somebody and say, you can do good. He didn't make him a Steve. He made him an Eve. Amen. When Satan moved in, he came in full of a method that was packed with subtlety. His questions were calculated to create a sense of restricted liberty, cast an aspersion on the goodness of God. His questions to Adam and Eve were, are you restricted in God's sphere? Are you limited in this place God has placed you? You know that the enemy is coming your way when you begin to say, if I wasn't here, I could do this. That's what the devil was saying to Adam and Eve. Has God really said? He says you are like God, huh? Oh, that's not true. But when you partake of this fruit, then you'll become like God. They were already made in His image. Made after His own likeness. Not their likeness, His likeness. You're restricted, Eve. You're limited here. I hate that spirit. It causes moms and dads and young people to look at living for God and pleasing God, living righteous and holy, and look at it as a limitation. Gregory Paul, grab your crutches, brother. Come right up the middle aisle. Don't clap, don't clap. Thank you for clapping. I appreciate your kindness, but I want you to just watch. He was upset today because he couldn't play ball. He walked out there on the slick cement. It was wet and slipped and fell. Just walk across the front and let him look at you. You're handsome. Amen. Easy now, easy. Down. But I'm sick of that spirit that's caused moms and dads, preachers, preachers' wives, young people, to look at righteousness and holiness as a crutch, as a limitation. I can't run as fast. I can't walk as good. I'm not as faithful. I can't be as popular. It's a crutch. I come to tell you it is a lie. It is an absolute lie. The limitation God has put on you is for your own good. Thank you, Bubba. You can sit wherever you please. The limitation by God was holy and totally a benefit to man. And that was man's only way that he could progress towards his largest and fullest potential. Was he could only progress in the sphere that God had placed him. When are we going to see when a young man or a young lady loses out, preacher turns away from the truth, begins to mock and make fun of holiness and say, well, what's the difference in this and this? When are we ever going to learn that as soon as you quit trying to please God in holiness of the spirit and the flesh, your body, as soon as you turn away from it,
Why is it that you begin to try to paint up and fix up, and it isn't long the whole place is a cesspool of immorality and ungodliness, and God is nowhere?
Never one church that left the message of holiness has ever had revival. Never one. I'm bucking it, but I'm going to keep bucking it. Never one time does a church let go of an outward standard and grow. Never once. Big churches think they can get bigger if they just let it go. And within 2, 3, 4 years, they're not even a third of what they used to be when they used to feel like they were restricted. That's because you're not restricted. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, you should glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Young people, you will not better yourself by doing what God has said don't do. You will not be more progressive. You will not have more potential.
Man, how was it that Adam was attacked and Eve? I've been 35 minutes. It is that man has made up his spiritual essence of 3 things. 1 is intelligence. 2 is emotion. 3 is your will. Lucifer appealed to the intelligent man. And the appeal was calculated to change the attitude of his emotion so that he could capture what he viewed as the citadel of man. And that is his will. That's why when Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covered, he was the anointed cherub. Lucifer became the devil. When Lucifer said, I will, 5 times. God did not make a devil. Lucifer became the devil. When he said, I will exalt myself. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend. When he exercised his will, came demonic. When he exercised his will, the Bible says he was cut down. Luke said he was cast down. When he said, I will. Wrong, Lucifer. You don't have your own will here. You're an angel. I don't give you a choice. Your place in Revelation 12, it says his place was not found anymore in heaven. Your place, Lucifer, is you worship me. I'm going to tell you what the real problem is with people that don't worship. To worship God, you have to deem Him greater than yourself. You can be seated. Don't ever believe them stupid lies. Maybe I shouldn't have said it that strong. Don't ever believe that crazy idea. Well, I'll dance when the Spirit makes me. That's as wrong as the Trinity. Well, God, how stupid is that? God forgave you. God washed your sins away. God made your body a whole dwelling place of this kind. Now God's got to throw you in a full Nelson and say, now jump. I know you don't feel like it. I know it's against your nature, but I want you to worship now. Come on. And in spite of what God's trying to make some of you, you still resist it. These 500 people shouting and running, and you sit back and say, I don't feel nothing. I'd be afraid if everybody else was worshiping and I didn't feel something. You can be seated. You ain't got one Bible verse anywhere in God's holy book where God ever made anybody worship. Not one verse. Use terms like dance in the Spirit. It ain't in the Bible. You know, see, people learn one of these days, they just say amen to cover their guilt. When you get quiet, we know we hit you, see. I'll turn my card in. Show me one place in the Bible where it says they dance in the Spirit. I want one. Somebody wrote an article and said, marry him, dance in the Spirit. That's ignorant. Bible doesn't say it, number one. Number two, she couldn't have. Didn't have the Holy Ghost, can't be in the Spirit. Let me tell you, and I know you don't like it, but let me tell you why she shouted when she got across the Red Sea and the waters that saved her. She seen it come in on her past. She said, my God, I feel like dancing. I tell you why you ought to shout. You went down in the name of Jesus. That's why you ought to shout. Ain't got nothing to do with how you feel or how fast or loud the music is. It has to do with my name is written down. Don't rejoice because you have power over the devil. Rejoice because your name is written down. That's it. You can be seated. Worship does not come by feeling. It's because of a fact. Oh, Jesus. Holy cow blood all over California this week. Well, now, I don't believe it. I've never said to everybody, y'all shout. I do believe y'all try it at least once before you die. It won't hurt you, I promise. You say, how do you do it? Watch. Just pick one foot up and put the other one down. Put the other one up. Just kind of, you just go a little faster. You don't have to shout. But now let me show you the air. I don't believe there's any difference in going. I believe that's worship. I believe that's worship right there, Brother Morton. Wave your hands. I love people go lifting up, trying to get people to worship that are saved and shouldn't have to be made to worship. I love to watch them go through the calisthenics. They start out and they go, let's shout unto God with the voice of triumph. The Word of God says, lift up holy hands in the sanctuary. Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. They go through all those verses, but they never get to that one in Psalms 149 or 148. They always miss that other one. They'll talk about shouting and voice and clapping the hands and waving it, but they won't ever get to that one that says, praise His name in a dance. I always leave that one out. And Brother Morton, I get to look around going, now I wonder why that is. If it don't matter whether you're dancing, shouting, clapping, waving, or crying, or running or rolling, why do they always leave that one out? You can be seated. They don't like that. Or you can dance when the Spirit of God makes you. Everybody go, uh-uh. I like to go slow here. I like to watch people squirm. Can you imagine? Let me ask you this. I got to go on before I ruin this message. If there's no difference, young people, saints of God, moms, dads, Jews and Gentiles, hims and shims and he's and hers. If there's no difference in, then how come you only got to have God make you go? And you don't have to have God make you go. If there ain't any difference in it, why does God got to make you dance, but He ain't got to make you cry, and He ain't got to make you wave your hands, and He ain't got to make you clap? I'll tell you why. It comes down to what you will. Worship is not a feeling. It is a fact. I I worship him? Because I am man. Oh, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God is God. I am man. I must worship him. Let me see. Somebody say ouch or amen. See, the problem with all that is there's going to come a time in your walk with God when you can't feel Him. So that's why when you don't feel God, you start sucking your thumb and chewing your fingernails off at the elbow. Well, I'd run the aisles if I felt Him. Sorry, Reverend, I just can't feel Him. You're going to have somebody else do the running and shout. Come on, devil got you tricked. He's messing with your mind. It don't have nothing to do with how you feel. If you got the Holy Ghost, your name written down, run, shout, cry, clap, run, roll, do whatever you feel. But in the name of the Lord, don't just sit there. David said, this is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Look at three people say, I will, I will, I will, I will. Come on, ladies, what about you? Look at some of the young ladies say, I will worship Him. It may have took me 3 hours to get this hair up, but I will worship Him. It may have took me an hour to get golf fixed up, but I will praise Him. I will, I will, I will. Come on, look at somebody and say, I will. I will. I will. I will. I make my mind up before I get to church. I am going to praise Him. I will clap. I will wave. I will cry. I will leap. I will shout before I ever get there. I will. You can be seated. So He appeals to the intelligence so that He can change the emotion, so that He can get to the will. By the assertion of Satan's own will, he dethrones God and enthrones himself. By listening to the tempter, they doubted the love of God and acted against His will. The inward spiritual and fall of man found its expression in the overt act of taking that which God had forbidden and saying, I know God's will is to leave it alone, but I will eat. And by the exercising of their will, their flesh obeyed. They partook, they ate. Thus man's intelligence becomes darkened. His emotion is now deadened, darkened to God. Emotionally unsensitive and dead to God. His will is degraded and against God. The alcoholic's problem, the adulterer's problem, the drug addict's problem, the pimp and the prostitute's problem, the young man or young lady in the apostolic camp meeting of the Western District who's trying their best to be an overcomer. Your problem is not the way you were born. Your problem is your will. Thus, the darkened intelligence now only sees what is near or what is material. The degraded emotion now attempts to satisfy itself wholly within the realm of the earthly. And the degraded will attempts to be authoritative and masterful, but finds himself always thwarted, beaten, and overcome. Because he enthrones himself by taking God out of the throne of his life. To do the will of God is not to just give an unprotesting consent to His will. But to do the will of God is rather to choose God's will with positive determination. The deepest desire of the human heart is a will, or the deepest disease of a human heart is the will of a man that is broken away from its center. And man's center is the Almighty God. He is the center. He is of all things. It is in Him that we live. It is in Him that we move. And it is in Him that we have our being. I close by saying this, that your change will not come by trying to satisfy yourself with everything you see. Ecclesiastes 1 and 8, the eye is never satisfied with seeing. Ecclesiastes 4 and 8, neither is the eye satisfied with riches. Isaiah 9 and 20, you shall eat and not be satisfied. Amos 4 and 8, you have wonder to drink and you're not satisfied. Ezekiel 16 and 28, you have played the harlot and you're not satisfied. It's your will. Jesus makes a profound statement whenever He looks at these people and He says, if any man will do my will, the original really is, if any man willeth to do my will, then you will know of the doctrine. Then you will know whether it is of me or it is of God. I'm going to tell you why some people will tell you, listen to me, parents, moms and dads, I'm after everybody inside the building. I just can't stand to see somebody not participate. Listen to me. The reason that you've got a problem when you begin to say things don't matter. It doesn't matter if I pray. It doesn't matter if I worship. It doesn't matter about holiness and how I dress and how I look and where I go and what I do. It doesn't matter. The problem with saying that is you will never know if the doctrine of holiness and separation is of God until you say, I will. Then you will know that it is of God. Am I preaching the truth? You can be seated. You'll never know that holiness makes a difference in your life. You say, why are you preaching this to young people? Because young people are about to become young adults. And too many young people step out when they get 18 and they think they are adults until they get hit with bills and trouble. And then they come running back to mom and dad and say, I'm not as big as I thought I was. And then you make decisions and you run around and you sleep around. The world tells you it doesn't matter. That's why you can abort the baby, because you're not responsible for what you do. But you see, you have a will. And if you will to sleep with that young man or that young lady, God has ordained something natural to happen. And that is, there's a high possibility that you two will conceive and there will be a child. You are pro-choice. You have one choice, not two. If you lay down and you committed immorality, it's going to get quiet. But if you lay down and you become immoral and you get pregnant, young lady, you don't have any more choices. I don't care what the world says. Don't care what the government says. You do not have a right to be an adulterer and then become a murderer on top of it. If it was wrong for David, it's wrong for you. Just because you commit fornication does not mean you can turn around and murder. Come on, young man, young lady, get it in your spirit. It's not a penalty to be Pentecostal. This is where real liberty is. It's in the spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If any man willeth to do his will, I'm reaching for somebody as you're seated for another moment. I'm reaching for young men and young ladies. And I'm telling you that there is resurrection power for you. There is power to change. There is a way to stop doing evil and start doing good. You say, but I'm accustomed to it. Fine. But you can still change. The Almighty God spits on the ground, puts mud balls in a blind man's eye sockets, tells him to go wash. He does, comes for a seed. But the miracle was contingent upon that blind man saying to himself, I will wash. The miracle does not happen until he gets up from where he is and goes to where the Lord's Word has commanded him to go in obedience. And when he washes, mud becomes eyeballs. He walks to the bow of a boat and says to an angry storm and troubled seas, peace be still. He takes 5 loaves and 2 fish. Feeds 5,000. Nobody gets stirred until he gets down to 1 piece of bread. 1 piece of fish. Then everybody starts going. Hasn't been a miracle up until now. Anybody can break bread to this point. Anybody can break fish to this point. But when he's down to just 1 little piece of fish and 1 piece of bread, the miracle starts. Sometimes God's miracle working power cannot do what it wants to do in your life until you get down to the last little fragment of faith that you have. And then the miracle starts. Because as long as you can work your way out of it, you don't need God. But when you get to the place where you see your own frailty and your own weakness, and you say, God, if you don't help me, and God turns around and says, would you like to? A God that can make a sun, moon, and stars out of nothing. A God that can make dust from nothing. Hebrews says we understand by faith that those things which are seen are made by things that do not appear. If God has the power and the wisdom to do that, to make everything out of things that do not appear, He has the power to help you. Paul said in Ephesians 2 that it is His power to usward who believe. It doesn't say to usward, it says to usward who believe. Belief is more than saying, I believe. Real faith is faith whenever it obeys. Go wash! 10 lepers show up. The law says, stay 100 paces away. The Lord breaks the law. Go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, as they went, pus oozing sores dry up. Scabs begin to fall off. Somebody notices it. They have a little momentary explosion of praise. 9 people run off. 1 man comes back. Some people say, well, it's just not in my nature to be a worshiper. I'm just a little introverted. I wasn't built that way. Give me the Bible. Let me hurry. Where does it say, let everything have breath, praise the Lord, except them that are introverted? Where does it say, let everything have breath, praise the Lord, except them that aren't built that way? Or that have never done it like that. Where? Where do you get the right and the leeway not to be a worshiper? When this one man come back to the Lord, we find out what he says about it. He says, wait a second. Wasn't there 10 of you? I'm almost sure. I mean, I'm an all-knowing God, and I'm almost sure there was 10 of you guys. And there's only one of you now. He said, where are the other nine? Did I not heal nine? What he was saying was, if I healed 10, I expect 10 worshipers. I will not accept 1 out of 10 thanking me for what 10 got. Did you hear what I said? Our churches are becoming churches where 2 or 3 do all the praying and worshiping for 300. It is not the will of God. If 300 are saved, there ought to be 300 worshipers. If there's 500 saved, ought to be 500 worshipers. If there's 3 saved, ought to be 3 worshipers. The criteria is, are you a benefactor of God's blessing and His power? If you are, then you should worship Him. He puts His fingers in a deaf man's ears, removes them, and says, Ephphatha! Which is saying, be open! There is power available to a young man, a young lady tonight. Power to turn this district right up on its ears is here tonight. I know I'm a flunky from nowhere. You know. Well, said, you don't know me, you haven't missed anything. We've even become ensnared. I think if we're really going to have a big church, got to have big preacher, big name, big show. But let me tell you something. It's never contingent upon who's preaching. It's contingent upon what's preached, whether it's truth or not, and then how you receive it. And I've come and I'm feeling the Holy Ghost to tell this district and this young people of the Western District, you have the ability and God has a desire to turn this state up on its ears and to fill your churches full, but He's waiting on somebody to say, I will. If any man will do His will. You may be a lame man at a pool. The Lord walks to the lame man. You can stay standing. Man been that way from his mother's womb. Born a cripple. And the Almighty God says, would you like to walk? Wait a minute, aren't you God? Absolutely. I'm not Jehovah Jr. I can speak to the darkness and light will appear. I can pick up an ear that Peter will cut off, put it back, and there'll be no evidence that it ever was removed. I have all power. With me, nothing shall be impossible. I'd like to make you whole, but I got one problem, young man. Would you like to be? Wilt thou? You may have come tonight with all kind of problems in your spirit, in your mind, and in your soul. You may have a deep down desire, I'd like to be. But you've got to move in beyond your intelligence. You've got to move beyond emotion. And you've got to find that will in your heart. And you've got to say, I will. I will live for Him. I will receive the Holy Ghost. I will get up off of my crippled bed. I will break this habit. I will change my life. I will. God said, would you like to? The power to change is in your will. What would you like to do? If you will to do His will, anything is possible. You've got to bring your will in line with His will. And then a miracle happens. Lift your hands. I will. I will live right. I will receive the Holy Ghost. I will get up out of my abuse. I will get up out of that mistreatment. I will do the will of God. Come on, young people. More than a moment of land lifted, somewhere a will has got to be brought in line with the will of God. Come on, young ladies. Come on, young men. Now is the hour for true worshipers to worship. Now! Come on, young lady. I will live holy. I will live separated. I will worship. I will pray. I will submit. I will. Come on, praise Him. I will bless. Come on, you need to lift your hands and say it. I will. I will. I will. I make a positive determination. And give. I will. I will. I will. Come on, preachers. Come on, adults. Come on, campers and helpers. Let's pray with somebody. I will. I will. Get up out of your sin. Get up out of your affliction. Get up out of your habit. Get up. Get up. It's not my will to be like I am. I will to be like He wills. Not my will, but Thy will. Come on, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Come on, praise Him, young men. Come on, be desperate. Bring your will in line with His. I will live like I will please Him. I will give Him. Come on, young people, would you give Him glory? Would you give Him glory? Would you give Him glory?